This is Beth Morgan. It's January the 24th, 2003. I'm visiting with Cora Reyes at her home in La Mesa, New Mexico. And this interview is for the UTEP Bracero Oral History Project. So the first thing I would like to ask you, Cora, is when and where were you born?
I was born in Omecia, just across La Posta. In 1926.
And La Posta is a restaurant.
Restaurant, yes.
Okay.
In January the 1st, 1926.
Okay, and where did you go to school, grow up and go to school?
I went to school for a while in Omecia, and then my dad moved to Fair Acres to farm over there. So I went to Fair Acres for till the age of 12. And then we moved to La Mesa to take care of the orphans that my aunt died, and then she left three kids, two boys and one girl.
Okay.
So we moved to La Mesa, and we've always been farmers all our lives.
And what was your aunt's name?
The one that died?
Mm-hmm.
Her main name was Lujan, Maria Lujan Chavez.
Uh-huh.
And the youngest child was, I think, 3 years old.
Mm-hmm.
So we came over here to take care of them.
Okay.
And then my dad started farming. There was a farmer here that owned a lot of property. His name was Mr. Potter.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people share crop with him.
Right.
So he had a lot of land here in La Mesa.
Did your dad work for him?
Yes, he did.
As a sharecropper?
Mm-hmm. That's right. Uh-huh.
Okay, and what was your dad's name?
Blas Chavez.
Blas
Chavez. Mm-hmm.
Chavez. Okay. And your mother's name?
Emma Lopez Chavez.
Okay, Emma Lopez.
Emma.
Like E-M-M-A?
E-A, that's
okay.
Right.
Great.
Mm-hmm.
Alrighty, and so your dad, was he always a farmer?
Always.
Okay. So he farmed, did he farm in Mesilla also?
In Mesilla, he shared the farm that his brother had.
Mm-hmm.
But, from when I was like 8 years old, we lived in Garfield for a while.
Right.
And he farmed over there also.
Okay.
It wasn't a big farm, but still, you know, it was farming.
Was that his own farm there?
My grandfather's.
Okay. And so, if you wouldn't mind, I'd like to get the names of all of these people that you're talking about. So your dad's brother that he farmed with in Mesilla.
Yeah, his name, Nemesio Chavez.
I'm sorry?
Nemesio Chavez.
Nemesio
Chavez.
So that would be N-E-M-E-I-C-O. I-C-O.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And your grandfather, his grandfather, was it that took place in Garfield?
In Garfield, his name was Gregorio Serna.
Serna. And that was your dad's?
My mom's grandpa.
Your mom's grandpa.
That's okay. Right.
All right. And so then he farmed in Mesilla. And Garfield
and Fair Acres.
And Fair Acres.
Right.
Okay, and in Fair Acres, was that his own place? Or was
no, that was his brother's place. Nemesio Chavez was the owner of the firm.
He had two places there, okay.
Yeah.
And then when you came here, he worked for Mr. Potter.
Mr. Potter. Mm-hmm.
And do you know if your parents used braceros at all?
They in the old days, it was mostly for picking cotton. Because they did most of the labor,
mm-hmm.
You know, the family did most of the labor.
Right.
So there were no cotton pickers at that time.
Mm-hmm.
So that's when they hired the braceros for cotton picking.
All right. And you said you went to school at Fair Acres until you were 12?
Right.
And then you moved down here?
To La Mesa.
Okay, and did you continue your education here?
Just to the eighth grade in San Miguel.
Okay.
Because I didn't have a formal education because my mom was the only one that would take care of the children, so I had to stay and take care of the children. That's the reason I didn't have didn't go to high school because we had a lot of things to do for them, you know, and it was hard. And we worked out in the fields also,
mm-hmm.
you know, to help my dad.
And what was your husband's name?
Sylvester Reyes.
Sylvester Reyes. Okay. And how did the two of you meet?
We met at school, and then we were neighbors here in La Mesa.
Mm-hmm.
So So we started dating like when I was 17. Mm-hmm. And I got married in 1944.
Was his family also?
Yeah, they were farmers also. Okay. That's right.
How long had they been in this area?
Oh my goodness, for a long time. When we moved over here, his father was already a farmer and his name was Jose Reyes. And he was already a farmer. He worked for Mr. Potter also.
Mr. Potter? Uh-huh. Okay. Uh-huh. And then when did you and your husband start your own farm?
After he got out of the service, like in 1948.
1948. Uh-huh. Okay. And that was here in the La Mesa?
In the La Mesa area. That's okay. Right.
And would that be this place or is it?
No, it's a place over there.
Closer to town?
See, closer to town. Uh-huh. Okay. Just a little ways from the church.
Okay. And that's the place where the two of you were living and farming mm-hmm. when you first began.
When we first began.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. And so that was owned by you and your husband.
Well, the first 15 acres we bought from Mr. Potter. Mm-hmm. And then we started, you know, whenever we made money, we started buying more land.
Right. So. Okay. So, at the time that you first hired braceros yourselves, mm-hmm. How many acres did you have?
Well, like, I think, 25 and 15, about 35 acres.
35 uh-huh. acres. Okay.
And they would come in and, do the... We'll clean up, you know, the weeds and all that, you know. But at that time, we probably had one or two. We didn't have that many. But then when the cotton picking season was here, then we hired a couple more.
Okay. And so you were growing cotton?
Mostly cotton. Okay. At that time, it had a good price, so mostly cotton. And alfalfa also.
Okay. But so when you started... In 1948, mm-hmm. you were growing cotton.
Cotton, that's right.
Did you grow other things as well?
Not at that time because we didn't have that much land. So we just, you know, and then after we bought Marlene, then we started hay, onions, lettuce, and all that, you know.
Okay, and how many acres did you acquire total?
Totally, about 85 acres.
85 mm-hmm. acres, okay. And then, so... Do you have any idea, say, by the 50s, what crops you would have been growing?
By the 50s? I think that at that time, we still had to, the cotton had good price. So, but we also grew onions uh-huh. at that time.
Okay, and those the braceros, did they help you with all that?
Yes, they did.
Okay, and then in the 60s, what about in the 60s?
In the 60s? Well, it was all almost the same. You know, cotton prices were still very good. And we had jeans in every town of the Mesilla Valley. Every town had a jean.
A jean?
Uh-huh. Okay. Yeah, for a cotton jean.
I want to stop this for just a second and make sure that it's going right.
Okay.
So mm-hmm. then we could... it's not backing up because I have it on review here. Now it's going forward. Okay, I think what we did was we just created a second track, but that's okay.
Oh, okay.
I just wanted to make sure that it was recording properly. And so, how did you first hear about the Bracero program?
My husband would attend the meetings with the Farm Bureau, uh-huh. and I think that's where he first learned about the Braceros. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. And then we had a few relatives that moved to our area, and we hired them to work on the farm also.
Okay, now, were they people who had been living on this side of the border, or did they come from Mexico?
No, they came from Mexico.
They came from
mm-hmm.
Mexico,
yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. But they were not, were they officially braceros also, or were they?
No, it was mostly family, but they needed the job, so okay. So we helped them out.
So you found out from the Farm Bureau then. Mm-hmm. Why did you and your husband decide to hire braceros?
Because he rented a big farm, and he needed more help. So that's the reason. The Mrs. Kenyon was the owner of the farm.
Kenyon?
Uh-huh, Kenyon. And so we had to hire somebody because it was like maybe 100 acres. So we had to hire braceros to help us.
Okay. And do you remember what he had to go through to hire the braceros?
I don't think he had a lot of problems. I mean, a lot of people knew how to go about it, so I guess they told him how to go about it. When it was, you know, like that, I didn't get involved. Mm-hmm. He did all that. My husband did all that, you know, so I have no idea.
Okay, and you don't know what the regulations were?
No, I don't.
What kind of paperwork mm-hmm. he might have had to fill out?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and you said that he attended the Farm Bureau meeting, so was that the government agency that was administering the program?
I have no idea.
Okay.
All I know is that a lot of the information that he would get was from the Farm Bureau.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And do you have any idea how many years you employed braceros?
Well, some of them would just come and work for a season, and then they would, you know, go back to Mexico or move to another part of the country. So a lot of, just a couple of them stayed with us for like 30 years.
Uh-huh.
But those were the only two that stayed that long with us.
Okay, but it was during then the whole period mm-hmm. of the formal bracero program from the time that your husband started the farm
yeah.
in 1948
mm-hmm.
through the end of the bracero
program? That's right.
Okay. And you did have some that returned then?
Yes, we did, uh-huh. Some, you know, just after, there was no work for them, so they'd go back to Mexico. And then
right.
they knew when we would have a job for them, so they would come back.
Uh-huh. So would you say that you employed braceros every year?
I think so, yes. Mm-hmm.
Do you have any idea how many braceros total you may have employed?
Okay. There was like three that came with their families, so we had to build a little house on the farm to provide for the ones that had families,
mm-hmm.
and then the rest, I guess maybe five more.
Okay.
That way.
And they were usually ones who came back.
That's right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And can you tell me what the typically what the length of a work contract was?
Well, the ones that stayed for, it was year round.
Was it?
Uh-huh. Yeah, because my husband did also custom work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like people that had small farms and didn't have the equipment, so he did a lot of custom work.
And that would include?
Yeah, the braceros.
Mm-hmm. But what do you classify as custom work? Would he be like combining things for people?
Like plowing or planting, uh-huh. things like that, you know.
Okay. All right. And so the braceros, did they help him with everything that he did? I mean, typically, what were their duties?
Well, the two that I know of, they were the ones that did all the work in the tractors. Because two of them were, as a matter of fact, one of them died on our farm,
mm-hmm.
because he was getting the one that picks the cotton machine ready to go pick cotton, and he had it going on while he was working on it, so it got his jacket and choked him.
Oh my goodness!
Mm-hmm.
That's tragic.
Yeah, it is, but. Like I say, you know, those two men really worked for us. They really did.
So they operated farm
this
equipment.
Farm equipment, mm-hmm. right.
Right. And what other things did they do? I think you mentioned earlier that they would clean the weeds out of the fields.
In the old days, we didn't have cement ditches, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So we had to clean it before we started watering the fields.
So they helped with that.
Yeah, they helped with that
now,
also.
Was that done at like a certain time of year?
Right, right.
When mm-hmm. would that happen?
I think that would be like mostly in September and October.
Okay.
So They would get rid of all the weeds and then clean it up because like in the old days, we used to water late, you know, for the alfalfa and all that, you know, so they kept the ditches pretty clean at that time.
So it was kind of almost a year-round operation.
Exactly, exactly.
You could raise like alfalfa during the winter. Okay. And so the braceros weeded and they used farm equipment. What else did they do?
Well, if there was nothing to do, sometimes my husband would put them to clean the barns and do stuff, you know, around the house, like fitting the ceilings need work or painting or something like that. Mm-hmm. They would do it. They always had something to do.
Okay. And how did the braceros reach your farm? I mean, how did they get there?
Well, most of them came because they knew my husband, see? He knew a lot of people, so even over there in Mexico, they would tell each other, we'll go with this farmer and he'll hire you. So that's the way. Most of them knew my husband. Most of the braceros we hired.
Did they come from a specific place in Mexico? I mean, were they all from the same place? Was it in the interior, or was it?
Well, it was mostly from Chihuahua,
the
Chihuahua state. Most of them were from there.
Okay. And so when they came to you, were they bused up here by the government, or did you have to go pick them up? Or?
No, they came on their own.
I see.
See, they came on their own. So we just hired them to work.
Okay.
They came on their own.
So they got here, and then he gave them a job.
Exactly.
Do you happen to know if your husband ever went to one of the bracero processing centers? Because apparently there were places in Mexico where they would kind of call them to a certain place and they would say, okay, if you want to work in the bracero program, you have to come here first and then we will distribute you from there.
No, he never went. No, he never had to do that.
Okay. Do you happen to know what the government required you as farmers to provide the braceros that you hired?
A good home, you know, that they had everything. The house that we built, we even put a bathroom in it.
Uh-huh.
And it was a nice little house, you know, and we had to pay them the minimum also.
And the minimum would be not necessarily minimum wage, but whatever the prevailing wage was for farmers.
For farmers, right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And so the what was the least you could do? I know you said you had some who were actually living here that you had bought and built a little house for, but the ones that just came every now and then, where did they stay?
We had another barn that we had beds there, and then they would stay there and sleep there, and sometimes they would use the kitchen in the house to do their cooking, but they would sleep in the barn.
Okay. And did you provide the food for them, or did they buy their own food?
They bought their own food, but there were times that they needed food, so my husband would provide food for them.
And what about medical care?
We never had any problems with that.
Except for that one poor guy.
Yeah, that poor guy. That.
I guess he didn't need any medical care.
No,
after
he didn't.
That accident,
he didn't.
Okay. Do you know if there were any government officials that came around to check and make sure that your husband was meeting the requirements?
I think that once in a while they would come and check on the houses and everything.
Okay, and would that have been the Farm Bureau, or would
I think it was the Farm Bureau. I think they were the ones that did that.
Did the Border Patrol ever show up to make sure that your braceros were legal? Or
a couple of times, but they didn't do it too often. A couple of times, I think.
And what about the Immigration Service? Did they ever?
No, we never had any problems with any of them.
And when they came to check on people, how did they go about that? Did they like set an appointment, or did they just come?
No, they just came.
They just showed up.
Uh-huh. They just showed up.
Okay.
Some of them, they weren't here legal. I mean, they would hide in the ditch, you know, or something like that.
Oh.
They would run in and hide in the ditch.
And was that guys that were working for your husband?
Yes. There were a few that weren't here legal. So. See, like, I think in the old days, when they came to pick cotton, I think that they had to go through that process of being here legal.
Uh-huh.
And then when they had to return, they would return.
Uh-huh.
So that's the way it was.
Okay, so maybe it was more formal for harvest seasons,
mm-hmm,
than it was
exactly
for other kinds of farm work.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So some of your braceros slept in the barn, and did they have like a dining room set up there too, or did they eat in the little house?
They would eat in the little house. We just had bunk beds in the barn where they slept.
Who prepared the meals for them?
They did.
They did.
Mm-hmm. They prepared their own meals. Uh-huh.
And
they're good cooks, let me tell you.
So in general, they bought their own food, but if they needed a little,
yeah, if they needed, my husband would. They would make a list, and my husband would go get them what they needed.
Okay. And what kind of food did they make?
Well, they mostly. Sometimes I would even cook their beans.
Uh-huh.
You know, the pinto beans,
uh-huh,
and as long as they had tortillas, pinto beans and chili, and chorizo and all that, it was a meal for them.
Uh-huh. So they were pretty happy.
Yeah.
Beans and tortillas.
Ten beans and tortillas.
Okay. So you said you didn't have any problem with any of the braceros becoming ill?
No, we didn't.
Okay.
No. Most of them were very young, you know, and they were very good health.
And the ones that brought their wives?
Two of them brought their wives and their children.
Okay.
But I think that when they came here, they were legal already.
Okay.
So they work, two of them work with my husband, and we let as a matter of fact, the kids were going to the La Mesa school.
Okay.
Two of the kids.
So when you say they were legal, does that mean that they had immigrated or that they were legal braceros?
They immigrated, I think.
Okay.
Yes.
So then they may not technically have been braceros anymore if they weren't.
Yeah,
exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let me see, where am I now? Do you happen to remember what the minimum wage was that you were paying?
No, like I say, you know, my husband took care of that. And so I never, he would even tell me, come here so I can show you this and that, but I told him, no, I don't want to learn nothing like that. I told him, I'm never going to be a secretary.
And did you happen to know how the wages were determined? You know, how they decided what they were going to be?
I have no idea. Like I say, you know, I never paid much attention to that. My husband took care of all that.
So he kept the books and, mm-hmm, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Do you know if he was required to withhold any taxes, or did he put money aside for them in savings accounts or anything like that?
At that time, I don't think so. What they did sometimes, that they needed money, they would borrow money from my husband. You know, and then later on they would pay him, or he would take it off their salaries, mm-hmm, you know, during the month.
But he was not required to withhold taxes?
No,
or anything like that.
No.
Okay. Well, I don't know if you can answer this, but I'll ask you anyway. It says, were you or your hiring agent members of a local agricultural organization?
I don't think so. It's like I said, you know, the only thing I can remember is anything that he needed to know, he would go to the Farm Bureau.
Okay. So maybe.
Maybe, uh-huh.
Okay. Did the Farm Bureau have any influence over how the Bracero program was operated?
I have no idea.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
No, I have no idea.
We already talked a little bit about the work that the braceros did on your farm. Can you tell me sort of what a typical day would be like for them during the growing season and then maybe during the harvest season?
Mm-hmm. Well, they would start early in the morning, and then they'd work till sundown, you know. Mm-hmm. So it was like maybe 8 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes if they had to irrigate at night, they would work at night for a few hours.
Mm-hmm. And when you say they started early in the morning?
Like maybe at 6.
Okay.
At 6 in the morning.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And during the growing season, what did they have to do then? They would have to irrigate?
Almost everything, except the ones that did the labor in the tractors and all that. But the other ones, you know, they would clean out the fields and put the fertilizer and all that.
Okay.
Was done by the ones that didn't work in the equipment.
Okay. And then during the harvest season, what would a typical day be like?
Like when they went to pick cotton, they didn't have to get up at 6 o'clock in the morning. They didn't have to go that early.
Okay.
So probably it was maybe like 8 or from 8 to 5 or something like that.
Okay. And during a typical day, let's go back to the growing season now, what kind of tools did they use?
Well, when they pick cotton, they just, you know, the cotton sacks, mm-hmm, that we provided for them, and then when they cleaned up just the hole.
A hose,
uh-huh. And
okay.
That was about it.
What about gloves and hats and that kind of stuff?
They had their own equipment. I mean, they had their own. Well, sometimes my husband would buy gloves for them.
Okay.
But their hats, they had them.
Okay. And did they ever have to wear, like, any kind of protective clothing, like, say, if they were applying the fertilizer or something like that?
Really, they didn't. You know, they just wore their original clothes.
Okay. And we talked a little bit earlier also about the kind of work that they performed. It wasn't only field work, but if they needed something, mm-hmm, to do, then your husband would just put them to work around
the farm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And they did they drive the tractors also?
Just the three that my husband trained.
Okay.
Because, you know, some of them, it was kind of hard to train them.
Uh-huh.
So he was afraid that, you know, something might happen to them. So he had only three that were well trained.
And were they the ones that were living in the little house?
In the little house.
Okay. Uh-huh. And so he was those were the only ones that he allowed,
mm-hmm,
to operate.
And then my husband did a lot of the work at that time, uh-huh, you know, because he was young and he was in good health. So he did a lot of the work himself.
Okay. How much contact did you have with the Braceros? Or how much contact did your husband have with the Braceros?
Oh, he did. He did have a lot of contact with them.
So he would be talking with,
yes,
them every day?
Mm-hmm. Every day.
Giving directions,
mm-hmm,
and so on. Did you know any of the Braceros by name?
Well, see, like I only knew the ones that lived there in the little house.
Right.
You know, they were like family with us, like. But the ones that just came for a few months and then leave, I mean, I never got in contact with them.
Okay. And what were the names of the ones who were living in the little house?
Okay, one was Poncho. I think his last name was Mendoza. And, well, the other one, they called him Junior, but I don't know what his first name was.
Uh-huh.
And then the other one was Emilio, the one that died.
Uh-huh.
I can't remember his last name, but his first name was Emilio.
Okay. And what about Junior? Do you happen to remember his last name?
No, I don't. He's the one that I tell you that his kids went to school here in La Mesa.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I can't remember his last name.
Okay. Does any one of these braceros stand out in particular in your memory?
Just those three are the only ones.
And that was primarily because they lived?
Yeah, they lived right there, you know. And sometimes I would, like, bake a cake or something, you know, and I go take it to them,
mm-hmm,
and, you know.
Okay. Well, you said that there were two of them in particular who worked really hard.
Yeah, Emilio, oh my God, Poncho.
Okay.
Mendoza.
Okay. And
we could even go on vacation, and my husband and I didn't have to worry about anything, because he would take care of the farm like it was his.
So they were almost like a foreman.
Yes.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yes.
Okay. Family. Well, you said
it. Yeah, family, yes.
Okay. And did you have a foreman?
No, we never did.
So
no,
my husband's
own
foreman.
Yeah.
Okay. And his relationship with the Braceros, what was that like?
He always got along real good with them.
So I gather he spoke Spanish.
Mm-hmm. Yes, he did.
So
mm-hmm.
he was able to speak
yeah,
Spanish.
Yeah, speak Spanish with him. Mm-hmm.
Okay, and do you happen to know what the Braceros did on their days off?
Oh, some would go to the bar and get drunk. Others, the other one, Poncho was a good dancer.
Was he?
As a matter of fact, we went to a wedding, and he was invited also. He danced with me. He was a good dancer.
Was that here in the La Mesa area?
In La Mesa, yeah.
And do you remember whose wedding it was?
I can't remember whose wedding it was. This was years ago when he first came. I don't even remember whose wedding it was, but they had in the old days, they had the weddings at the church at the parish hall,
uh-huh.
and they had the dances and everything there in the old days. Now they go somewhere else to bigger places, uh-huh. and more expensive places.
Too bad things have changed.
So oh, God, she is.
Okay. Do you happen to know what they did for fun, or was that pretty much the same as what they did on their days off?
Well, mostly they love to go dancing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they'd go to the bars, and then a lot of the bars had a dance hall.
Mm-hmm.
So that was mostly their entertainment.
How about like at the end of a day, did they have any like card games or anything that they would play just to while away the evening?
I never saw them do anything like that. Uh-uh.
Okay. Did any of your braceros have special privileges?
Well, one of them was very concerned with his family in Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
So he would always send them money.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I would make the money order for him.
Okay.
And but that was about the only one of all the braceros that we had that was very concerned with his family.
What about any paid vacation days? Was your husband able to pay them for any of their vacation time, like holidays, you know, like Christmas?
Mm-hmm. Well, he gave, for Christmas, he would give them a gift, you know, I mean, money
mm-hmm.
for Christmas. But that was just for the ones that had been working with him for a long, long time.
Right, okay. And what about any of the other holidays? Were there any...
Well, most of the time, if they had to work, they had to work, so they didn't take the day off.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it was a holiday, they wouldn't. They would just go work.
Okay.
And they would get their salary, you know, the same thing.
Mm-hmm. If they were off on those holidays, say like on Christmas Day, what did they do?
Well, most of them would go and visit their families in Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think they didn't live too far from Juarez,
okay.
most of them. So they would go see their relatives there.
And what happened with the braceros who were not living here on your property when the contract ended, when your contract with them ended? Did they
would go back to Mexico.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Some of them would just like to go, you know, as soon as the contract was over, I mean, they would leave right away.
Mm-hmm.
They wanted to go back to Mexico, so we didn't have problems with that.
Did you ever have any who were, like, helping you with your harvest, and then they would go to another person's farm in the area to help them when they finished with you or anything like that?
Well, if somebody that my husband knew needed help, uh-huh. he would send them over there. Uh-huh.
Okay.
His brother had a little farm here in La Mesa also, and sometimes they'd go work with him. He had like 25 acres.
Okay, and so when that happened, they were paid
by the other person. The other person, okay. Right.
All right. Were there any obligations at the end of a work contract? Like if say one of your braceros went back to Mexico, was it kind of understood that he would come back and work for you again, or?
Well, I think most of that were happy, you know, that they enjoyed living on our farm and, you know, dealing with my husband. Most of them came back.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't have problems with that.
But it was not necessarily a formal agreement?
Just verbal.
Okay, and the ones who lived in the little house, did they work for you every year?
Most every year.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And do you have any idea if they were, well, I think you said something about 30 years before. Did all of those three work?
No, just the one that died on the freeway. Okay. Poncho, that was the one.
Okay. And Junior?
We even had his family. We had another house right in La Mesa there by the church.
Uh-huh.
That was for the, he lived there with his family.
Okay, that was Poncho.
Yeah, Poncho. But they weren't his kids. He married this lady that had the kids.
Okay.
So he brought them to live there. So they lived there for about 7 years.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
And what about Junior? Do you know how many years he worked for you?
Junior, about 5 years, I think, because he found another job and he took off.
Okay. And Emilio?
Emilio, till he died.
Okay.
And he started when he was very young, because I think Emilio died in his 30s, and he started with my husband like when he was 18 years old.
So maybe 12 mm-hmm. years.
12 years,
so.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Did you ever have any any problems with the braceros?
Like I say, you know, I wasn't very close to them, so my husband would, you know, take care of everything, so I have no idea.
How about when they've been partying all
the time? Well, sometimes they come home and kick the screen doors and break the glasses on the windows. But my husband would, you know, he used to get along with them pretty good.
It was pretty easy going.
Yeah, he was. Okay. He didn't have problems with it. They respected him.
Should I turn this off for a minute?
Sounds okay, there's...
Somebody just came in. Okay, so we were talking about whether or not you had any problems with the braceros, and I think you were saying that sometimes if they got drunk, maybe they would
kick the screen doors, and we had to replace them
uh-huh.
and stuff like that, you know. But other than that, they were okay.
So they
did respect my husband a lot.
Uh-huh.
They did.
So they were generally pretty harmless.
Yes.
No,
we never had any problems like that.
Okay. Did they ever get into any fist fights or anything like that?
One time, two of them did, because I don't know, they started an argument, and then they started hitting each other. But my husband went out there and he calmed them down, and it was okay.
I'm going to stop this because I'm not sure this it's recording this time, because I can't hear you in the microphone.
Oh, okay.
So we'll kind of make sure it recorded. It's not going backwards. Okay. So there was a fist fight once, but it was not that big a deal.
It wasn't too big. I mean, my husband just went and calmed him down and talked to him, and that was it. It was nothing violent.
Did you ever have any criminal behavior from any of your braceros? I mean, did they ever get, like, thrown in jail for stealing or anything like that?
I don't remember if... I know one time Poncho had... I think they caught him driving while he was intoxicated. Mm-hmm. But other than that, we never did have any problems.
Okay.
Like I said, they would go to the bar and they go dancing, and then they would just come home real tired and just go to sleep. So yeah,
they had places here in La Mesa where they could dance, or did they have to go?
Well, most of them would go to Vado.
Oh.
And they used to be there was three bars in La Mesa, Chopes what's the Alvarez man another one, I can't remember the name of it. But we had three bars in La Mesa, and they would go there.
Okay. Did any of the braceros ever complain about their living conditions or what they were getting paid or anything?
Not
like
that,
that
I know of, no. Okay.
So your husband didn't ever have any talk with you about them?
No, he never did. No, they seemed to be happy, you know. Because the houses were, you know, they were pretty nice.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure they were better homes than what they had in Mexico, you know. So they were real happy.
Do you know if any of the braceros in this area ever had, like, a labor strike or anything like that?
Not that I know of, okay. No.
All right. Okay. You know, there were the braceros who were the ones who were coming in legally under that labor program.
Labor program.
And then there were undocumented workers, mm-hmm, who were
exactly
coming across, mm-hmm, illegally.
Illegally.
Did your husband employ both?
Both,
Both, And did the fact that he have braceros, was he more likely or less likely to hire undocumented workers, or...
See, the only time that he would hire undocumented was because they needed the job.
Mm-hmm.
And because they didn't, I mean, according to them, they needed to send money to Mexico, to the families, and sometimes they didn't even have money for food for them. So that's the reason my husband would give him a job.
Mm-hmm.
But most of them didn't last that long, you know. It was just during the season that they would stay, and then they would just take off right away.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So then were there times when you had maybe a crew that would have both braceros and undocumented workers?
Not working at the same place, no.
Okay.
No.
Okay, I was wondering how the two different groups would get along.
No, one would be in one farm, and the braceros would be at the other. So they were never together.
So he was aware that there could be problems, mm-hmm,
exactly,
between them.
Exactly. Exactly. So he didn't put them
just
together.
Kind of sidestep that,
mm-hmm,
whole issue.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. In your opinion, how would you rate the quality of the braceros' work?
Sometimes some are very good workers, but others, they're not. Even the girls that, because I had a big house over there, and I hired girls to come in and stay with me so that they would help me. I used to work at the grocery store here in La Mesa since I was 15 years old.
Mm-hmm.
So I worked for some time, and I had a girl that worked for me. So I had to show her how to clean house and how to do the laundry and everything, you know. So there were braceros that we had to show them how to do the job, you know. Because I guess a lot of them never worked before.
Okay.
So they didn't know.
But once they learned how, were you satisfied with that?
Yes,
work?
We were. Uh-huh.
Okay. If you were going to compare the braceros' work to that of people who were already U.S. citizens, was there any difference that you could see?
Not really, no.
Okay. Or Mexican American farmhands, you know, ones who had already immigrated.
Well, there was a lot of farmers here that succeeded because of the workers they had. Some of them were very good workers. Mm-hmm. They really put in many years and a lot of work with the farmers.
Okay. When your son came in, we had stopped the tape just shortly, but he was talking about some of the grocery stores that were here that catered to braceros.
Mm-hmm.
What was the name of the one that he mentioned?
Bellman Mercantile. I worked there since I was...
Bellman?
Mercantile.
B-E-L-L-M-A-N?
B-E-L-L-M-A-N.
Okay. And that place no longer exists.
Right? It's still there, but now it's Eagle's?
Eagle Grocery.
Grocery, right.
Okay.
Yeah, but I started working since I was 15 years old.
Okay.
And we had everything. I mean, groceries, hardware, shoes, clothes, dry goods, everything we had in the store. And we used to, they would bring us the so we would, a list of the groceries for the braceros. And we would get it all together, and then the farmer would come and pick it up.
Okay, so that would be for like any farmer in
any
the
farmer,
area.
Exactly.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And what kinds of things did the braceros usually have on their grocery list? Do you remember?
But pinto beans and flour, sugar, and baking powder and stuff like that, because I think a lot of them made their own flour tortillas.
Uh-huh.
Because we would give them all that. And maybe meat, you know, they would order meat also.
And what about the... clothing, your son was saying that they stocked clothing.
Mm-hmm. Well, mostly what they bought were shoes and boots. That,
okay.
That's mostly what they would buy.
Did they have like jeans and dungarees, mm-hmm. and things that you could buy there?
Yes.
Also?
Uh-huh. But I think that for the braceros, people would give them clothes, you know. People that didn't use the clothes anymore, they would give it to the braceros. So they didn't buy that much clothes at that
okay.
time.
But they went through shoes.
Yes, shoes and boots. Okay. They really did.
Okay. Did you ever notice any animosity between the braceros and any other farm employees that you had?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you said your husband kind of kept them separate.
Yeah. Well, I guess he knew how to handle that, you know. So I have no idea.
Okay. Do you have any idea what the advantages and disadvantages of the Bracero program were now that it's over? What do you see as being its strong points or weak points?
Well, I think that it was good that we had the braceros to pick the cotton, because there were families here, you know, from this country that would pick cotton, but they didn't do a good job as the braceros did.
Mm-hmm.
I know of one bracero that he picked 800 pounds a day.
Wow.
800 pounds a day. When it came to the cotton season, I mean, they did a great job. They really did.
Would you have any idea what contributed to the program being ended?
I have no idea. No, I don't.
If you had any influence on the situation, would you like to see the Bracero program reinstated?
Probably it would help, because see, nowadays we don't need them that much because of all the farm equipment that we have.
Right.
So just for a few things, I don't know. I don't. Well, maybe like onion picking and lettuce and all that, but it would just, I don't know. It just.
So it might be helpful at harvest time.
At harvest time, exactly. Uh-huh.
Okay. If it was to be reinstated, how do you think it should be different than the way it used to be run?
Well, now it would be like, I think it would be more expensive.
Mm-hmm.
Because the salary is much higher than the old days, so I think it would be more expensive for the farmers.
And probably housing costs.
Housing costs and all that. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, I kind of run through my list of questions here, but I wanted to ask you if there's anything that we haven't talked about that we should talk about.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess that covers it all, I think.
Can you think of any other people here in this area that use braceros that I should talk to?
In this area, let me see.
You had mentioned the Archer Farm.
Yeah, it's right over here.
And who would I talk to over there?
Mr. and Mrs. Archer live there, and they probably, I'm sure they have a lot of history about the braceros, because he's been a farmer all his life, I think.
Okay.
I think they're a little older than me.
And what is their names?
I think her name is, am I getting confused, Dorothy Archer? Oh, I should have asked Ruben. I can't remember I know the last name is. I used to weigh on them when I worked at the store, but their son's name is Philip.
Philip
Archer. Okay. Uh-huh. I remember him because he was a little boy when he would go to the store with his mom. You can talk to Philip. He lives in the Pueblo style house right here. And then the other is the parents' house.
Okay. So if I wanted to talk
to Philip, call him, Philip. He's a real nice guy.
All right. I'm going to stop this now because I think we're pretty much done.